Chapter 8. Experimental Procedure. Bidi's great master was a generous lord. He had praised Bidi for the contributions he'd acquired for the great Faram. The slain enemies were sown back into the earth. His seeds were put away for safekeeping, for there was something known as winter on the horizon, and they would be unable to be grown for a while. For his diligence, Bidi was awarded a prize directly from his great master's hand. The pelt of Basibushi fashioned into a powerful artifact. It increased his nobility and majesty tenfold and kept the rain off his feathers. It even imparted a portion of the beast's ferocious speed unto him, or at least he thought it did. He was certainly faster now than he was when he had killed the wicked thing. It was also most pleasing to his females. The great master had brought new females for his flock, as well as two new potential disciples, or so he assumed. Chunki and Pipa were odd, hairless things that rooted around and squealed in a most displeasing manner. Pink and wrinkled, they were offensive to his senses. They stank, waddled, and ran around, oftentimes spooking his females. But the great master fed them his leftovers and threw them the dried-out nubs of heavenly herbs, treating them well. So he stayed his spurs and watched to see if they were worthy of ascending past their base selves. He held no great hope. They were obviously dullards of the highest order, dung upon the land, and unworthy of the great master's time and care. But he did not doubt his great master. They obviously had some use, else his lord would not have taken them in. His lord had also redoubled his own efforts, and once more Bidi watched in awe. Trees fell one after another and were transformed into logs and planks. The rice was swiftly reaped and then set out to dry, the fat heads of the foodstuff looking unbelievably tempting. His physique shone with sweat as he worked with a fire in his eyes. Toiling with such speed and prowess, Bidi could only stare in awe, wishing for a fraction of that might. Now, the great master was acting with his overwhelming wisdom again, and Bidi was lost. His master had built great fires, placing selected stones within them. Bidi could only observe the great work, for whenever he got close, he felt the heat overwhelm him from the mere proximity. His great master was, of course, not so limited. So the flame swelled to temperatures Bidi had never experienced. It was so hot it required several days to cool after the fires were quenched, and when they were taken from the fires, the stones were white and brittle. With his bare hands, he crushed them to powder, with the ease Bidi could now crush interlopers. The great master collected the powder and added water, clay, and smaller rocks to produce an odd gray sludge, one that flowed sluggishly. The great master then molded and poured the sludge into the shapes he desired. Several squares were created, as well as tiles. Thus, they were left to dry under the sun. The next day, when he examined them, he was enlightened. His great master had made liquid stone. Bidi was dumbfounded. Stone could be transmuted to liquid and back again. Truly, his great master's wisdom surpassed all others. I examined the brick carefully, noting the cracks and imperfections. I pulled, and the brick easily came apart in my hands. Well, let's chalk this one up to a bust. Even with chi, my concrete was shit. I would need to do some more testing with ratios. I knew how this was supposed to work, mostly. So I figured I'd probably succeed eventually if I kept trucking at it. The Romans used seawater and volcanic ash to get what they wanted, and they'd made some of the best concrete in existence, even when compared to modern materials. I knew where a volcano was, but there's no way I'd be able to get there now. It just wasn't worth it. I'd see how far I could get with chi and some experiments. Until then, it looked like we were starting with stone. I'd hoped to get the new house finished before the snow hit, but that probably wasn't going to happen. I had my drawings, so I knew what I wanted. I had started measuring out foundations, and I had superhuman strength and endurance, but I was still only one guy. These things always took longer than you thought they would. I had worked on a couple of houses in the before, and every single one was over time and over budget. It just happened. I sighed contentedly, sitting down and dipping my feet into the water of the stream. I took a moment to enjoy the feeling of the setting sun on my bare skin and the sensation of the cooling water to wash away the fatigue of the day. Man, this place was just perfect. The wind and the sounds of the countryside drifted on the breeze. The grass swayed in the wind. A fish decided to nibble my toe. It was a little carp with an appetite bigger than his brain. I gently shooed the little fellow away, chuckling at his persistence. Big D joined me and shouted his usual cock-a-doodle-doo. "You tell him, Big D," I muttered, scratching my guard chicken's head. We sat together as I cuddled my companion, grooming his feathers and scratching his belly, until I found a spot that made his legs start kicking. He was like a guard dog, but just way meaner. Really, what kind of chicken could manage to kill a hawk? I paused. Guard dog. Guard chicken. The thought took me. I grinned and got up, getting a plank of wood, a chisel, and some ash. I debated writing it in English, but I kind of wanted to see how people would react to this. I selected the characters and drew them out on the wood, then took my chisel to the plank. I finished it off with the ash, painting the characters dark black. I stared at my new signpost. I couldn't help it. I started laughing. This is going to confuse visitors so much. I placed my work proudly on the fence's gate and then went for dinner. I had fish from the river with spirit herb and asparagus. I was trying to experiment more after experiencing good food again after months without it. It was fun to cook. It was fun to try and make new things, and if anybody ever came over to visit, well, I'd show them some hospitality. Sure, it took longer and was far more work than the extremely simple meals I'd made before, but I wanted to do it. I needed to. I had enough food now. It was time to live a little. It was delicious. Peppa and Chunky got the leftovers, the little sweethearts clambering into my lap afterwards, nuzzling affectionately. I eventually crawled into bed and wished for the next day to be just as good as this one. As quoted by witnesses, the traveling cultivator declared that such weak cultivators couldn't be a part of the mighty Shrouded Mountain sect, much less that one could be a young master of it, the guard declared, obviously trying hard not to quake in his boots as he stared at the larger man. Tian Li Wei's face was stony as he studied the mortal before him. His rage was a quiet thing, gently bubbling beneath the surface. The irritation was compounded by the lack of qi in this place. His breaths were slightly heavier, and his eyes felt like they were drying out. Both were repulsive experiences. To be called upon by mortals, claiming that they had captured someone with the gall to declare that they were a part of my sect. It defied belief. Yet they had captured someone from his sect. He glared at Third Brother Chiang's youngest, Tsang Li, chained as he was in suppression seals. Li Wei had nearly exploded at seeing one of their own detained like that, but after hearing the story, he could only conclude it was a kindness visited on them by the unknown cultivator. His rage transferred to the brat who was defeated in the Azure Hills. He could understand the boy's joy at breaking into the profound realm and having a bit of fun exploring, but soiling himself by traveling this far into this weak place to gallivant around the countryside, and then be caught by mere mortals. To lose the Shrouded Mountain sect face like this, this little brat dared. At least he had the sense to keep his damned fool mouth shut, and hadn't compounded his failures. We thank the Verdant Hill for so swiftly informing us of this egregious plot against our Shrouded Mountain sect, he said, lying through his teeth. We shall take these imposters elsewhere. The mortal bowed his head. We release them to you, then, Elder of the Shrouded Mountain. Li Wei gave the pathetic boy a once-over as he was unchained from the suppression seals. His lightning chi was intact. The wandering expert who had defeated him had shown remarkable restraint, and for that reason alone, he decided not to interrogate the mortals over who they had seen. It would be uncouth to strike at a man after such an altercation. The only thing truly wounded was the boy's pride and his fingers, barely worth thinking about. If all went well, the Shrouded Mountain would not truly lose face over this incident. He heaved the boy up over his shoulder, then gestured to the inner disciples he had brought with him. They grabbed the other ones, nodding. the boy's lackeys. They'd claimed to be of the Shrouded Mountain, but he didn't know them. These ones were disposable, and they would not speak a word of the Shrouded Mountain sect's involvement. The group departed, leaping into the air and bounding over so much land they may as well have been flying. The inner disciples peeled off, going to dispose of the two unknown faces. They would have been unable to keep up with him anyway. In a day, he could cover more distance than a mortal could in a month. "Before you open your mouth, you brat, I will not be fighting your battles for you. You have shamed yourself," Li Wei snarled at the boy. Zhang Li looked appropriately contrite, if slightly ill. It served the little bastard right. "Get revenge on your own, or look away from this matter on your own. Either way, you will be returning to the Shrouded Mountain."
"I apologize, uncle," the little shit mumbled.
Good. He would be humbled further later. Internally, it was not Zhang Li who was considering his uncle's words. Lu Ban was sweating and concentrating his hardest on stabilizing his technique. At the same time, the expert carried him like a sack, purposefully making the journey uncomfortable. It had been hard enough under the suppression seals, but he was a dragon amongst men and destined for the heavens. If the expert had done a deeper examination, he would have found Zhang Li was not Zhang Li. On a cursory glance, his chi was that of lightning. Underneath, oil and blood bubbled. The slayer of the young master of the Shrouded Mountains squirmed in his stolen skin and rummaged through stolen memories. His chi worked quickly and subtly, fully consuming the other. The reason he had traveled to the Azure Hills in the first place was to complete his consumption and stabilize his power. The fools who had previously traveled with Zhang Li hadn't even noticed the change. Finally, he felt the shroud complete. He let out a breath. The twilight cuckoo's triumph settled. Now, only the most powerful of experts, using the most skillful examinations, could decipher his true origins. His plan was at fruition, though faster than he'd thought would happen. Now he would have the resources of the Shrouded Mountain, as he'd originally intended when he slew the young master and devoured him. He might have gotten a bit carried away while stabilizing his technique, feasting upon his lessers and enjoying the Azure Hills, weak as they were. But now, in the safety of his own mind, Lu Ban swore that he would slaughter all those who stood before him. This djinn would pay dearly.